Amen. You may be seated. Anybody else feeling gratitude this morning? Wow. Can you believe it's March? It's already March, and even more surprising than that to some of you maybe, if you haven't looked at your calendar, is that Easter is this month. Easter is this month. It's March the 31st, and I just want to put in a plug real quick for Easter because it's going to be here before we know it. We're going to take spring break. We're going to come back, and boom, Easter is here. And just like other churches, Easter is a big deal here at Holland Chapel. You see, more people will come to church on Easter with you than probably any other Sunday of the year. We've got these invite cards that say everyone is welcome. They're all over the building. You can find them, especially in the lobby. We want to encourage you to grab some invite cards and begin to invite your friends and neighbors to come fill this place up on Easter. Not so that we can say, hey, we had this high, all-time high attendance number, but maybe, just maybe, that will be the day that God changes their lives. That's our prayer for Easter this year. My name is Nick. I'm one of the pastors here at Holland Chapel, and I never take for granted the opportunity to get up here and share God's word with you. And that's what I get to do this morning. Pastor Luke is off on an anniversary trip, and I'm excited to be here in this series that we have called Staying Focused in a New Season. Staying Focused in a New Season. It's very important that you understand this is not a reactive series. This is not something that we threw together because we see a problem out there. We want to correct something going wrong in the church. This is proactive thoughts from your pastors. We got together a few weeks ago and we said, hey, in this new season, in this new exciting venture that Holland Chapel is probably about to take part in of a building project, what are some things that we want to remind Holland Chapel of? And these are principles from God's word that we believe are perfectly relevant for Holland Chapel right now. Last week, Pastor Luke reminded us that the church is led by Jesus. It is Jesus that builds his church. It's not our efforts. It's not our good works. It's not our inviting people. It's not our service. It's all about Jesus. And we believe that he is building it here at Holland Chapel. We see evidence of kingdom growth every day, and I hope that you see evidence all around you as well. Jesus is building his church. And as he builds it, we need to remember the mission. That's the big idea today. Remember the mission. As he builds his church, we need to remember our mission. Because see, we'd be tempted to say, boy, look at us. We've arrived. We've got everybody here. This place is full. We're due for a little bit of a break. Let's relax a little bit. And so on this remember the mission, I've got a couple of bullet points. First of all, I want to say that it's our mission is not to get them here to Holland Chapel. It's to get people to Jesus. Our mission is not just to fill this room up. It's to get people to Jesus. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to read a passage from here, and you can keep it marked because we're going to come back to a few verses higher a little bit later on. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. It's one of my favorite passages when it comes to our mission. It's not just to fill this room up. It's to get people to Jesus. And we see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. Paul writes, "For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God." You don't find anywhere in there where Paul writes that we plead to people, come to church. It's come back to God. We have a message of reconciliation because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, and it's our mission to bring people to God. So it doesn't matter how full it is in here. There's plenty of room in heaven. We can bring people to God. At Holland Chapel, we say our mission this way. We say we're helping people find and follow Jesus. Helping people find and follow Jesus. Remember the mission. And the second bullet point is this. Not only is our mission not just to get them in here, but to get them to Jesus, our mission is not just out there, it's in here. And I want to spend a lot of our time this morning emphasizing that. That we're called to help each other follow Jesus too. You see, when we put the mission out that says helping people find and follow Jesus, guess what this room is full of? People. People. We're called not just to help the people out there to get to Jesus, but the people in this room need help following Jesus too. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. One of Pastor Luke's points last week was that when we're obedient, God will bless. When we're obedient, God will bless. And we're seeing in Scripture, we're to share each other's burdens. Paul writes that we are obedient when we share each other's burdens, when we love people. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 says, owe nothing to anyone. Listen to this. This is so good. Owe nothing to anyone except your obligation to love one another. That's what we owe people. We owe them love. He says, if you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. He's saying you'll obey when you love your neighbor. Who's my neighbor? This is the old, the good Samaritan. There. He said, who was his neighbor? Turn to the person beside you. Say, hey, neighbor. Look across the room and wave at somebody and say, howdy, neighbor. Turn and look up in the balcony. Balcony, look down here. Say, what's up, neighbor? If you have to ask if they're your neighbor, guess what? They are. They are. Owe nothing to anyone except your obligation to love one another. We're obedient when we love people. Lost people, saved people, hurt people, happy people, lonely people. Those people, these people, all people, we're obedient when we're loving people. I've been guilty of saying this from this very stage before, and it's true. It's a true statement, but we oftentimes emphasize that the world is hurting. The world is desperate. The world needs hope. Guess what, church? The church is hurting. The church is full of desperate people. The church is full of people who need hope. Now, before you say, wait, Nick, Pastor Nick doesn't believe in missions. Pastor Nick, all he cares about is church. Listen, scripturally, these two things go hand in hand. There's going to be a couple of verses on the screen to help us illustrate that. You can't do one without the other. Remember, all people. Galatians chapter 6 says, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. And then John 13 says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Did you see that? When we reach them when we reach and love each other. Your love for one another is going to prove to the world that you're truly my disciples, that Jesus Christ truly changes lives. And so in this new season, we need to remember the mission. And the mission is people. Staying focused in a new season means not forgetting our purpose. When Jesus comes into our lives, he changes us. And I don't know about you, but I can definitely see this, that your life is no longer about you anymore. You begin to be outward focused. You begin to see people the way that Jesus sees people. I told you to save that spot in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you're still there, go back up a couple of verses. Just before Paul tells us that we have this message of reconciliation. Just before he says that we're ambassadors pleading to people, come back to God. A few verses up in verse 14, he says this. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that he died to that we have all died to our old life. He changes us. He died for everyone so that those who receive this new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. You see, that's the truth that allows us to go out and say, come back to God. Because without Jesus Christ changing our lives, all we care about is us. But when he comes in and changes us and gives us a new heart, we begin to want other people to experience that same saving grace. The last phrase of this passage says this, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. I always thought that was a little bit weird in there. We've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. What he's saying there is we don't see people the way we used to see them. We see them as people who need to find and follow Jesus. When Jesus changes your life, all of a sudden everybody around you becomes your mission field. Everybody around you becomes someone who you can help find and follow Jesus. And it's right after that that he claims that role of ambassador for us to all people. So this morning, practically speaking, very simply, how can we be obedient to our calling to love people? What's something that we can do to make sure that we love those people, these people, desperate people, lost people, saved people? What can we do? Just a couple of really easy, and if you know me up here, I'm not going to break down the Greek language. I'm not going to tell you something that's going to have your head spinning. I'm going to keep it simple because that's just me. So I'm going to give you a couple really simple ways that we cannot forget our purpose and we can love people. Number one is notice people. You can notice people. Have you ever been in a daze when someone was talking to you? Maybe your wife turns to you and says, "You weren't even listening to me, were you?" And in your mind, you're thinking, that's a weird way to start a conversation. Or maybe you're like me. Tiffany says, "I only have two faults. I don't listen and something else." I don't remember what the other one was. You see, we often go through life focused on ourselves. We go through life in our own little world. We go through life focused on where we're going. If anyone in Scripture, I mean anyone, had the right to do that, and it's a fascinating story if you ever get a chance to read it, but it's the story of Joseph. We're not going to go through the story of Joseph, but if anyone, in my opinion, had the right to go through life sulking and being sorry for himself and feeling bad and not caring about what anybody else thought, it would be Joseph. You see, Joseph found himself in prison, and all he'd done was do the right thing time and time again. And he's in prison, and in Genesis chapter 40, verse 6, Joseph's in there in the prison, and honestly, if it were me, I would just be minding my own business, looking down, feeling sorry for myself. But Joseph sees these two people that he had interacted with, the cupbearer and the baker. And the Bible says when Joseph saw them the next morning, he noticed that they both looked upset. He noticed that they both looked upset. He was going through life, and I, quite honestly, like I said, I'm surprised his head was even up. But Joseph, with all the things that he had going on, all the reasons to feel sorry for himself, he notices these two people that God placed in his path. He realized that they needed some love. He realized that they had a burden. As the Bible says, share one another's burdens. He noticed that they both looked upset. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 5 real quick. Mark chapter 5. You'll know if we're going to Mark, we're probably going to be talking about Jesus. Mark chapter 5. In verse 30, Jesus gives us an excellent example of noticing people. Jesus in this story is, in my mind, he's being rushed through a crowd. There's people all around him. There are people pressing him on either side. There's probably his disciples are pulling him ahead to get to where he's supposed to be going. And in verse 30, the Bible tells us that Jesus realized at once that healing powers had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and he asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. And then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." In this story, again, as I'm picturing this, Jesus is going somewhere. And he's fighting through the crowd and people are bumping into him. And he very easily could have just kept on going. In fact, when he said, "Who touched me?" the disciples said, "Come on, there's too many people here. Let's just keep going." But Jesus stopped to the point where he looked around and he found her and he noticed her and he had a conversation with her. He slowed down and he cared. I don't know about you, but I'm usually on a mission. It's my mission and not what God has for me. You been there? Like you're on a purpose. You've got a purpose. You're going there for this. You're going down here for this. My Friday's going to look like this. I'm on my mission. I'm not always on Jesus' mission for me. To love people, we've got to see people. Do you notice the people that God places around you? The second really practical point is to know people. And I know what you're thinking when you see that. You, I just pulled off alliteration without the letters matching. No and K, N and K. But it sounds alike. So notice people and know people. There's a series of commercials going around that I love. You know, I don't know about you, but probably if you have a DVR, you hit that button and you skip the commercials. And typically I do that as well, unless one of these progressive commercials come on. Have you ever seen the commercial that says, don't be like your parents? I love, love, love these commercials because they are so true. They are so true. And my dad's not here this morning, and he'll probably go back and listen, so I'm going to go ahead and say it because he'll know I'm talking about him anyway. I showed him this commercial last week and said, Dad, this is you. Check out this commercial on knowing people.
Okay, when you turn around, you're going to see someone.
We have a turkey and cheese.
Let's imagine that LL Cool J has a bubble around him. Do we want to
be inside? Hey, I'm Keith.
There are some situations that young homeowners turning into their parents just can't handle.
Yep, there he is. There's my nephew. Very now, I got a video of him playing piano.
That's not how you take a selfie.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto with us.
3, 2, 1.
We don't need a countdown. Just take the picture. What have you done?
Oh, he had to go. Oh, I need to tell him something.
Oh, no, you don't. If you think people want to see videos about how talented your nephew is, click here for more of my videos.
I love... love those commercials. And it sounds funny and we laugh about it. We all know those people, whether it's really your parents or whether it's you. We know those people. But listen, when it comes to loving people, that, what we just saw, is not a bad thing. In fact, it's necessary in this new season for Holland Chapel. If you look around and you maybe come into this room and you feel like you don't know anyone, let me just put you at ease and tell you that you are experiencing the same number one burden of all your deacons, all your elders, all your pastors. We actually discussed this. We're like, we feel like we see new people every week. And it's a flood of new people, and it's awesome. But we've got to get to know one another. And so come out of that comfort zone. Realize that, hey, you're not the only one in the room that looks around and doesn't see people that you know. We've got to get uncomfortable and get to know people. You see, Jesus told the woman at the well, or the woman at the well said, come see this guy who told me everything that I'd ever done. We're not like Jesus. I don't know everything that you've done. I don't know everything that you've gone through. I don't know you. We have to ask. We have to get out of our comfort zone. Because church is much more than just worshiping together on Sundays. It's sharing one another's burdens. It's loving each other. It's being obedient to God's word. And I would be remiss if I didn't give you a good sales pitch here on HC Groups, because that's the best way to get to know one another. And maybe it's a connect group, maybe it's a growth group, maybe it's a life group. Go sit in someone's living room, get to know them. Or maybe, like I said, a connect group. I love the softball team. Get to know those guys in the dugout. I love the golf ministry, the hiking women ministry for the women. I love the mom and me mingle. Those are ways to get to know each other. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 on this topic. It'll be on the screen. He says, when I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness. For I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessing. He says, I do everything, even if it's awkward. How many times have you thought, I should do that? Nah, that's going to be weird. How many times have you said, I really want to meet that person? Nah, they're going to think I should know them already. Paul says, I do everything. Knowing people allows you to be intentional. For example, if all of your friends you find yourself around wear vests, you might want to get a vest. It's really hard to do with a microphone in your hand. If you don't know what I'm talking about, a few weeks ago I made a comment about everybody on staff having a vest except for me, and many of you offered me a vest, so here you go. I can't do it. I couldn't do it. Sorry. I wanted to put it on, but I can't do it. Not because it's ugly, because I'm holding a microphone. Paul says, I find common ground. You have life experiences that can be useful for people in here and out there. You've gone through things that they're going through right now. You've experienced things that could be so helpful in sharing each other's burdens. The mission is people. Notice them. Know them. Love them. We know that the world needs help finding and following Jesus. But do not assume that just because you see somebody here every Sunday morning that they don't need love. Because I promise you they do. I promise you. The same people that you see here every Sunday, they don't have it together. I don't have it together. We need each other. When we look at them and think that, guess what? That's evaluating from a human point of view. Remember what Paul said? I don't do that anymore. I don't see people from a human point of view anymore. I see people as people who need Jesus. People in this room are desperate for hope. They're struggling in their marriage. They're at different stages of life or hitting them hard. The health of their loved ones is always on their mind. And when you know people, you'll know how to care. Remember the mission. People are the mission. It's not enough just to let some names or people or notice people walk by. John 3:18 says, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Let us show the truth by our actions. In other words, it's not enough just to say, yeah, I noticed that person. Or yeah, I know all those people in that room. Put love into action. Joseph, when the Bible says that he noticed that they were upset, he did something about it. He interpreted their dreams. He solved their issues. Jesus, time after time after time, takes action when he encounters people in God's word. Remember, this is a proactive message, not reactive. We've got some people in this room that are excellent at loving people well. I can look around and I see how well you've loved me, how well you've loved my family, how well you've loved each other. But don't forget the mission. One of the best examples I can think of loving people well is one of my best friends. And this is a special weekend for him because Josh Turner has been serving and loving people well at Holland Chapel for 11 years. Josh, are you in the room somewhere? Where are you at? Where are you at? I told him to be close. There he is. Come on up. Come here. We got something for you. We missed year 10. We missed year 10, and this is year 11. So, Josh, thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I'm sure from the bottom of their heart too, for loving people well. Josh stops. He notices people. He doesn't rush through life. He notices them, he knows them, and he loves them well. So, Josh from Holland Chapel, thank you for 11 awesome years. Very early in the life of the church, the book of Acts tells us of love in action. See, it wasn't long in the life of the church before things started getting a little bit sideways. People started complaining a little bit. And the office of the deacon was established to help serve and love people in the church. I read a story one time about a particular deacon, and to me it just summarizes this message. In AD 258, that's a long time ago, a man named Lawrence, he was the deacon named Lawrence, he was one of seven deacons in Rome. And deacons at that particular time, specifically Lawrence, oversaw the church's money. And the Roman emperor of the time had just recently made a law that they were going to round up all the priests, all the bishops, all the deacons, and they were going to kill them because of the impact they were making on the church and how they were advancing the gospel and how it was kind of seen as anti-Rome. And so he declared this edict that all the priests and deacons must be killed. One of the officials went to Lawrence and they said, hey, we know you're over the money. Here's what we'll do for you. You surrender the treasure of the church and you'll be free. Surrender the treasure of the church and we'll let you go. We won't kill you like the rest. Lawrence, he said, okay, I'm gonna need 3 days. He said, give me 3 days. Lawrence, the deacon, gathers the poor, the hurting, the sick, the lonely from the church. He goes to see this Roman emperor, and they begin to parade into his court. The emperor begins to get agitated, and he said, "What is going on here?" Lawrence looks at him and says, "Sir, I've brought you what you asked for. These are the treasures of the church." People are the treasure of the church. Notice them, know them, love them. They're the mission. And in this new season of Holland Chapel, remember the mission. Let's don't get complacent. Let's love each other. People were Jesus' mission too. People were Jesus' mission when he left heaven and came to earth. People were his treasure. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He died on the cross because people were the mission, so that they could be in a relationship with God the Father by confessing and repenting of their sins and placing Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life, and then they could have a relationship with God the Father. Jesus knew that people were the mission. I want to close out this morning by taking a moment to love people the best way that I know how. If we thought about all the different ways that we could love people, we thought about we could do this for them, we could do that for them, we could go to their house, we could get to know them, we could notice them. The number one way that I know of to love people is to pray for them. And as I said before, this room is full of hurting people. We don't have it all together. Anyone want to join me? Anyone want to testify and say, we don't have it together? I could use some prayer. Church, as I said, there's a number of things that we could pray for. We're dealing with all different kinds of situations and circumstances out here today. But I've got to be honest with you. I'm going to try not to get too emotional. The church is experiencing something that I've never seen before. There's an all-out attack on marriages. I don't think a day's gone by in 2 weeks that I haven't heard about a struggling marriage. It's heartbreaking. Remember, our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the spiritual forces of evil. And I don't know a better way to pray for one another or to love one another, to be there for one another, to encourage one another, than to pray for each other. And you don't have to know all the details. You don't have to know who is struggling. I'll tell you what, we all struggle from time to time, right? But you need to know this. We need to fight the enemy for our marriages. I'm going to ask if you would, please stand. Here's what I'm going to ask us to do. Just all over the room, I would love for you just to bow your heads right now. And if you feel the need to come down front and pray, by all means do that. If you feel the need to take your spouse by the hand and pray, by all means do that. If you feel the need to go to that couple that you know that is struggling, or maybe go to that couple and say, "Help us, I'm struggling." Go and join up with somebody and pray. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead us in a few prayer prompts just for the next few moments. I'm going to lead us in a couple of different ways that we can pray for one another. Whatever that looks like for you and your family right now, let's pray that we would run hard after Jesus. You see, everything rises and falls with our relationship with Jesus. It doesn't matter what's going on. If it's negative, it can probably go back to the fact that we're not following after Jesus as hard as we should. So just take a moment right now and just pray that we would run hard after Jesus. Pray that in all circumstances, specifically in the marriage setting this morning, that we would run away from temptation. That we would find our spouse and our Lord more and more beautiful every day. Pray that we would run this race of life together, with arms linked, always looking out for one another, always putting our spouse or that neighbor in front of us. Pray that God would restore what's been broken and redeem it for His glory. Only God. Pray for testimonies that can be described as only God. And this morning, if you or your marriage are struggling, let me tell you, you are not alone. I'm begging you, get some help. You have a room full of people here that love you and would love nothing more than to share your burdens. I want to beg you to fight for your marriage. And maybe you're not struggling right now, and I want to beg you to be intentional. Be intentional. Date your spouse, always trying to grow closer and closer together, because the enemy is deceitful. The enemy is tricky. And the enemy will do whatever it takes to destroy our marriages. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us hope in Jesus. Lord, thank you for giving us a mission and a purpose. And no matter what comes Holland Chapel's way, no matter what season we find ourselves in, Lord, may we always be a people who remember our mission, and the mission is people. Lord, help us to notice people all around us. Help us to get to know people all around us. Help us to love people well. And Lord, specifically for our marriages, Lord, I pray that you would just do a miracle, that you would restore what only you can restore, that you would send the encouragement, send the support, send the people that can invest in these marriages, Lord, and help us always to be on guard against the tricks of the enemy. May we be a people who run hard after Jesus, because that's where it all starts. If we're not following you, Lord, then all else, anything can happen. Lord, for anyone in this room today that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, may they start that journey today. Thank you for these people, for their love, and for their support. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.